All right, let's get her going here. Leaf Hour Edition. We're talking comeback. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Along the ride, Derek Brandeo and Jake the Snake Schultz. The Leafs rally back, boys. Down two. And you just heard all of those back channel conversations, either from the three of us to all of you listening. They can't score. They can't. Where is the secondary scoring? They can't score.
Oh, yeah. No, I believed in them all along last night, Kip. Let me tell you, when they were down two. I think in our group chat halfway through the game, I said if they get hot, they might get to 18 shots. They finished 36.
Yeah. Yeah, they came on strong.
One of the segments that I've always thought about would be great for a sports talk radio show, and this is included for this one, would be group chat confessionals, where you put out some of the things that were said at particularly dire moments of games.
Oh, buddy.
Where it would have ended up flipping. I had to tell you, there was some text sent last night in multiple group chats about the validity of the Leafs actually maybe sucking.
Yeah, like
that was getting sent around. It was being talked about.
To be fair, it's coming off a really, really bad look against the Ottawa Senators. And then not that they were horrible, but it just seemed like they didn't have the juice in the first half of the game. They go down 3-1, and you think, could it end up 4-1, empty net? 4-2, but there was just no sense that a comeback was coming last night.
They ended up winning 5-3. They ended up winning 5-3 in overtime last night, boys.
Up until Tom Wilson.
The worst giveaway. He actually missed the Four Nations faceoff on that play. Everyone saw it. It was against the Leafs. Sorry, you can't be on our team.
that was a tough play.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube and get his thoughts of last night's game and no sense of panic in the first half, right, Craig?
I mean, they just kept working. I thought that pretty much the whole game I was pretty happy with how we approached it and how we played it. I mean, we got behind, I get that, but I thought in the second period from the 10-minute mark on, we started to really press and do some real good things in the offensive zone and get some opportunities and carry it over in the third.
Now, to be clear, the criticism about the offense from this team over the last week or so, and including an article I wrote, was about the lack of guys behind the big guys, right?
Yeah.
And the guys who end up scoring the goals are Knies, Marner, and Tavares.
It didn't really get
and Bobby
all
McMahon.
That.
Bobby McMahon, he scored a goal.
No, McMahon is the one exception.
And Lorenz.
That part didn't exactly get cleaned up either last night.
No,
right?
It was the big boys.
The big boys.
The big boys came through when it counted, which we've seen them do because they can do that. They're very good.
What? I'm laughing at the conversation.
Yeah.
Because it was a
gutsy win, Sam.
It was a gutsy win.
It was, I know.
But the thing is, it's that it always just comes back to this. Like, we can talk about all the minutiae. We spend an hour a day talking about them. Good players score, win. Bad players don't score, good players don't score, lose. Bad players don't score, lose.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to every time.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, that is the reality.
McMahon scores.
McMahon was excellent last night.
As a top six winger.
Yes, which may have been suggested by a few people on this show. We have been saying, give him that chance, up with a couple of players. He looked good. He was very involved. I know that line was excellent with Marner and Tavares and him. They were the best line on the ice, I thought, particularly in the second half of the game. So a very positive piece there. And then obviously Matthew Knies, I thought, the game turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made plays and everything that was impactful from the goal, the tip-in, a screen, a drawn penalty, all sorts of good plays from him.
He took over, quite honestly.
Yeah,
I thought he was pretty good in that third period, their best guy. The play he makes on the empty net where Willie kind of falls asleep, and then in the he comes back on the huge back check to keep it out. So he has to go and shoot it off the side of the net. Makes a great play there. Mm-hmm. Tips one in the net, doesn't count. Power move to the net. Like, he took over that game, I thought.
And I think they should get a ton of credit because they did have the built-in excuse of 4-6
for
and
sure.
coming off of a late night. There was every reason why they should have faded off to the sunset and find an L waiting for them. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen. Now, granted, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Washington Capitals and their lack of focus or concentration to close out a game, against a team that's focused or a team that has a better way to finish a game, would they have found themselves a crack to get back into the game?
Yeah.
But the Washington Capitals we saw in the second half of that game last night was the Washington Capitals we expected all season long.
For sure. And I do want to get to Spencer Carberry on that because that team was really bad. But I do want to say this about the Leafs. I think that's a massive win for them. Like, I think it's and if you're other teams that want the Leafs to fail, that was a really discouraging win because it really proved, I think internally, if you're the Leafs, they stuck with it in a tough spot on the road.
So they proved to
themselves Matthews, we kept going.
But more importantly, that they can win with the Berube way.
Sure.
No.
You know, but that could be part of it.
Because when they lose, we're like, oh, they don't like Berube's way, and they're too gifted, and they're too good for dump and chase, and they didn't get the puck all night because they were giving it away when they dumped it in.
You know, they score a power play goal and a 3-on-3 goal, and I'm not sure that changes a ton about the 5-on-5 conversation, but I think from a mentality position, I believe in momentum, like a positive momentum, the snowball of the season, and this to me is like a really good vibe if you're them. You know you can do it from those tough spots. But let's listen to Carberry.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Let's save Carberry. Let's go through the Leafs, and then we'll tag on head coach of Washington.
All right, do you want to get to the reviews?
I do think that was a huge win. Like, I will say that I was...
Standings-wise, too.
I was sitting up a little bit during that third period. And they get it gets my attention when Lorenz, I guess, bunts one into the net with his leg. I don't know. We can get into that later. Mm-hmm. You know, you get really excited when Nyes ties it. They take that away.
And they kept going.
I was on the edge of my seat. Like, I was Joan Etobicoke yesterday. Like, I was into that game. It felt big. It felt important. The way that Berube coached the third period made it feel like he thought it was like that, too.
Well, they started the third period, top two lines back
over
and
over and over. It was like a beer league game. Yeah, just two lines over and over.
He's like,
if
we don't get one here, we're cooked.
And I thought they matched his desperation. They're great in the third period.
Okay, let's go to Kipper's Clipper here on the head coach on the shuffling of the lines you just mentioned.
Well, JT and Mitch have played together before, and you know, Domi and Willie have played together before, and I threw Kampfer up there. I thought that line was really good for us tonight, Camp, Holmberg, and Steves. You know, they controlled a lot of the play when they're out there, strong on pucks and controlled it down. So, you know, Stevie Lorenz played center for us most of camp. I mean, these guys, they're all fine with that.
He loved Camp last night. He put him out in 3-on-3 ahead of Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
When there was no face-off to be won.
It was just like Camp came over the boards, and it was like, what?
Yeah. Sitting in my living room alone, I would...
He mentioned...
Camp?
He mentioned Steves as well, and, like, you're coming off a lack of energy the night before. Like, I thought it was great that he put him in. Even Hockenpah, I'm like, new blood.
Yeah.
Even there's no excuses for these guys to be tired. They've been waiting all this time.
Yeah, you get a little bit of energy from some guys who are happy to be there, not like, oh, back-to-back. Like, they're eager and motivated to go. What did you guys think of Hockenpah's debut? I know this is not a key story.
I mean, he's with Morgan, right?
Yeah, he was.
Didn't play much in the third, it felt like.
How many minutes did he end up with?
15-something.
Sounds about
just
right.
Just big and large and kind of got in the way sometimes, and then... Sometimes he got in his own way.
I would say the flexibility of an iron rod.
He played 15-36. Yeah.
Look a little stiff out there.
I think that was my take, too. I thought he was fine. Totally fine.
But fine.
He looked like a guy.
He's not graceful.
No.
Looked
like a guy that hadn't played since March and has a knee that's bone on bone.
Yeah,
that's what he
looked
like.
6'7".
Yeah.
John Tavares, let's go to the head coach and get his thoughts on his number one centerman last night.
Yeah, he was excellent again. I think, you know, he's been playing really well, and you know, he's just a competitor. He's so good with the stick in tight areas and winning battles and stick battles and stuff. And it was great to see him get that OT winner. Thought he had a heck of a game.
Yeah, he led the charge along with Mitch Marner and Willie. And
played 21 minutes last night.
Well, guess what? No 34.
He's the number one centerman.
Yeah, I guess. I think it is interesting when you talk about the guys and who Brewer is going to like and not like. It's interesting to me that he likes Tavares. You know, like he does.
Yeah.
He trusts him. He thinks he's a competitor. He's
been pretty effusive with his praise of John Tavares from the start of camp, yeah, all the way through the season and into that clip.
Well, I think he's probably got respect for being in the league.
He watched him get
years.
Stripped down too. I mean, losing the captaincy is a big thing, and you know, he's handled it really gracefully and classy and whatever other words you want to describe it, but we all know how much it crushed him and made him feel, and I guess it's a tough pill to swallow. So I think there's a sensitivity towards John that we know he's in his last year. We know if he's going to continue here, he's not going to make the money that he's made before. Come playoff time, it's still debatable where his role is and where his strengths are. And it's just not a given that he's going to be the second line centerman come playoff time. So they are sensitive towards him in terms of knowing that he's not going anywhere at $11 million for this year, and we still need him to produce. So let's handle him the way we need to get the most out of him.
It's crazy. He's got 61 shots in 17 games, which is well over 3 shots per game. Like, he's, you know, kind of JT, point per game.
He's JT. He gets his points. He gets his regular season points.
He's going to have gone through this contract with the Leafs, you know, kind of being what you thought you'd get. He'll probably average really close to a point per game by the time it's all said and done.
It's funny. I'm happy that it...
I think they were expecting more, though.
Well, but, okay, you know, that's fair.
At $11 million at the time when he was like the second highest paid guy in the league, you thought maybe 80 could turn into 100 or 120 with some.
Yeah, that first year had 47 goals and 90 points.
Young talent. But
yeah, that's fair.
It's last night was what you needed out of him with no Austin and lack of production coming from other places. He needed he is their big gun. Last night, along with Marner and Nylander. And
he makes a great move.
He won a great face-off. How many times during a key power play a face-off was lost and you killed the first 25 seconds? That was the face-off you needed for the play. It happened to be on a power play scenario, so it's a 6-on-4. Bang, 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 Marner.
Yeah,
that's it.
I know you guys know he's good. Where do you think he is in face-offs in the NHL?
Best.
Real close. I think he's third.
Right, yeah. Now. But he
was fourth yesterday. So
then every once in a while, like, the timing of them, it's not necessarily
the
number. Yeah. It's just when you win them. Last night, he had to win one.
Just under half.
And he did.
You know, it's nice, though, that he, because the start of the year, I guess he got very sick and he looked very bad. Like, very bad. Like, it was over how bad he looked to start this season. So maybe you got to give him the benefit of the doubt on how sick he was. And I remember just talking, the conversations we had about him to start the season. But now he's John Tavares again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And listen, he's going to go down as a very, very good hockey player. But is he going to go down as a Hall of Famer? Is he going to go down as one of the better ones of his generation? That's the knock against him, that he's been around for 15, 16 years, and he really hasn't led anyone or anything.
It's funny, though. He is one of those guys that, like, let's say he's Joe Thornton at the end of his career and he wants to be somewhere where they have a chance to win, and he finds it. He's Ray Bourque at the end of it or whatever. And all of a sudden you tack on a Stanley Cup and you look at the rest of it. I'm sure he's won Olympic gold, maybe world championship.
Brett Hull didn't win as the go-to guy in St. Louis. He goes to Detroit. Luke Robitaille doesn't get LA a cup leading the way, but he goes to Detroit. Like, we've got ample examples of these.
Yeah.
And maybe
Tavares does it this year and they get 15 points in the playoffs or something. All of a sudden it's like, boy, that resume looks a lot different now.
A lot different.
And then Sammy wakes up from his dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about the reviews now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
First off, more credit to the Leafs for playing through that.
Were
they going to cry? Were they going to go home?
You know, yes. I mean, emotions exist. And I think when you get up and you think you've fought your way back and you get it taken from you, it's easy to go, Nards, let's just forget about it.
They went into one of the better teams in the league to start the season on the second half of back-to-back with an AHL bottom six, with two goals taken off the board in the third period that looked like they both should have counted. And then they still find a way
this
to tie it and win
too
overtime.
Too much praise for Kip.
Listen to that. That's a great win.
It's a great win. I didn't expect
Washington sucks.
I didn't expect them to quit or lie down or mope around when they got a goal disallowed.
I've even watched a different team for the last 4 years. I thought they were going to quit.
Keep playing.
Reviews.
The fact that they have struggled to create offense to keep scoring goals impressed me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
Which goal you want to go?
Now, I am the boring guy. First off, Sam McKee had more tweets last night that I couldn't have disagreed with more. Like, every single one, I was like,
We went back to the Brett Hull days with the foot in the crease. You're not allowed to. That Washington callback is absurd. Like, I can't believe they called that goaltender interference.
Believe the guy in the crease who touched as he scored.
Hockenpah was as much in the fault as, Dowd that went through there? Like, he barely grazed him. The puck was in the net.
Skate in the crease to count from the other side that's not affecting the play, but actually touching the goalie bothers
Make it Brett Hull rule.
No.
So we don't have to have these stupid debates.
Right. We had the Brett Hull rule, and it was embarrassing.
And now we're back.
No, he hit touched the goalie in the crease.
Barely. Like, it's a kiss. Insane.
Here's the news about the skate in the crease rule. If it's a kiss, it counts too.
Was it Dowd?
Yeah.
Dowd goes into the blue paint voluntarily. Okay?
So
once
that's not allowed?
Once you go in there, then the league wants you to know that if, in fact, you go in there and you haven't been pushed in or cross-checked in, you run the risk of having a goal disallowed. And if you touch the goalie, you're not getting that call, okay? It's been established.
Okay, so then...
And that's the end of the story.
In your rules, in the spirit of your rules, is that a good goal? If I'm asking you two guys. Outside of the NHL, if you are like Justin Bourne's rule, Nick Kyprios rules, a guy blasts a 95-mile-an-hour slap shot, the goalie never sees it, but he got kissed on the skate.
Okay,
it's like, that can count.
You want to go first?
I would say that, like, if we're playing, like, you know, beer league, we've rented the ice, like, I'm going to let it count. But, I mean, not
if I'm
running the NHL, it's no goal.
I believe that if somehow, some way, he ended up standing in front of Wall and he didn't make any contact with him, that's a good goal. It's a good goal. And I don't think he impeded Wall. I don't think Wall made an effort to come out any more than he already had.
Yeah.
So that's not an issue for me either. But you can't touch the goalie. That's the rule. You can't touch the goalie.
Black and white.
And if you do, again, you run the risk.
But there are situations where guys touch the goalie. Like Matthew Tkachuk cross-checked Ilya Sorokin four times, knocks him down, digs the puck out of his pad and shoots it in, and that one counts.
Yeah, the goalie had time to get back.
It's easier on them having it this way than your way, because then we regress. And now we're like, did he touch him? How much did he touch him? Did he touch him hard? Did he touch him? And it's like, no, if he touched him, he touched him.
But then you have these guys, these refs, sitting at the iPad for 25 minutes on all these goal reviews, watching it 100 times over and over and convincing themselves it's not a goal.
Toronto's situation room should have more say on that.
It's a killer.
They can review it before they even ask.
60 seconds.
We don't.
You have 60 seconds.
They don't have.
Well, the refs have the official word.
Of course they do. And that's what they tell you.
Yeah. Okay, well, if they don't, then that's fine. But now you're talking about some Freemasons thing that I'm unaware of.
I got to think that there's
stonecutters.
Yeah,
it goes back to Toronto. And
we
here's the information we're giving you as an official. Do what you want with it.
Yeah.
So if you got pulled up to one of the bosses' office, and they looked at you and said, hey, Justin, here's some a few ideas, but just do whatever you want with the information. What are the odds of you probably leaning towards doing what they said?
I will fall in line. Whatever you need, sir, yes.
That's probably the way it works when you see an official on a headset talking
you.
Back to Toronto.
Yeah, just so you know. Yeah, here's what actually happened. I know you made the call. Yeah, for sure.
Next one. I guess we'll go in chronological order. The Lorenz one.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
That was the hardest one for me.
I hate the call. I agree that he propelled the puck forward with his leg.
He lifted his leg.
Yeah, he did try to use his leg to put the puck in the net.
You guys
once
got it.
Once Lorenz
are the rules.
And any dog I've ever known lift their legs, I know what the intention is.
That's pretty funny, buddy.
Like, what could the other claim be? Like, I was taking a stride.
Exactly.
Well, he was.
Right?
It went off as, like, I get that that one is a tougher one, okay? But the whole spear
it's
of the rule conversation.
Just not the skate.
But spear of the rule conversation, like, the whole reason you have no kicking motions.
Is safety.
Yeah. And that had no bear. Like, so if that had gone up and hit him in the gut and he went like that, would it have counted?
Yes.
I think once.
Then it's like 2 feet on the body make a difference. It's like that's so.
And it's not even a kicking motion when it's a kneeing motion.
No, it was
right?
a nudge. Yeah. It wasn't a kick. It was a nudge.
I think once upon a time there was a thought that you don't want people kicking with their skates.
Yeah.
But it's now, no, nothing. You cannot propel your leg purposely.
I would like to see that changed.
To move in the direction of putting a puck in the net.
Yeah. And to get it in. And
that's it.
Gave it a little.
Stupid.
And I'm hacky sack in there.
And I'm going 3-for-3 on the high stick too.
What?
Oh, I am.
This guy's got Coley Campbell on line one. He's like in his ear right now.
Coley doesn't even do it.
You got
anymore.
It in your that ear right now. You're like, Coley.
Coley's like this close to retirement, man.
That puck would have been a foot under the crossbar if there had been no one in the way. It was knuckling downhill by the time Nyes touches it.
So there's two angles on it though. The camera from the end boards, because they have the one that shoots all the way down the ice, the one that's like looking up, when it's pointing up,
yes,
it clearly looks like it's a high stick. But then the level one, it is where he makes contact.
You're missing the most important angle.
Because he called
angle.
It no goal on the ice. Is that what it is? Like
the referee's angle.
Yeah, it was a hero call.
He's the most important angle.
Yeah, hero call. He was a
hero.
He waved it off right away.
Hero.
Did not even.
He didn't see it, and he wanted to go to video review.
You're telling me he didn't see it.
I'm saying
on that reaction.
A lot of those calls now, it's like
so he guessed. He guessed.
Oh no, refs never guess. Kip, sorry.
Yeah.
You don't react that way when you guess that fast.
That guy said, "I want to take a look at this." So let's wave it off. We'll do the whole thing. Call
What's
Toronto.
Nice? 6'3"?
Oh, 6'10" apparently.
He broke Nick Dowd's nose last night. He was a mess.
And it was a fantastic redirect.
Perfect.
Too.
Great tip. Was
it
down
was
through his
fantastic.
Legs. Yeah.
But if the officials. Right there, and he waves it off, and then they go back and take a look at it. It's got to be really noticeable that it was underneath the crossbar. And
appeal to the official's view, I don't know.
They didn't get there.
No.
I did it wrong.
So there you go.
Free.
We got comments
Hey, listen, nobody wants to get in there and piss off a goalie more than me.
No.
But... I don't want to go back to those Brett Hull days where it's just a total embarrassment.
Let's listen to Craig Berube on the reviews.
The one Lorenz scored, I don't understand that call because if you look at the rule, if you kick, a kicking motion is a skate, right? This wasn't the skate, it's the shin pad.
It wasn't.
So I don't get it.
No.
But guys just stuck with it. They didn't. They weren't focused on it. They just were focused on their next shift, which was good by them. It's good on those guys, you know. And I thought the high stick goal was a goal. We looked at it again. I mean, to me, it's a goal. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. You got to keep battling, and we did.
Can never do talk radio with Berube. I thought it was a goal because it was a goal.
It was a goal.
And it's more than just the skate kicking a puck in.
Yeah, like you can make a pretty dramatic kicking motion and not hit the soccer ball with your foot.
Yeah,
it's just like okay. If it hits your skate and you make a kicking motion, no goal. Everywhere else on the body should count.
Ankles.
Ankle.
No, like anywhere in the the skate region. If it hits the boot, it doesn't count. Anywhere else, you know, good goal.
You know what the beauty of this game is? Every time I watch it, I can tell you exactly when a puck hits a boot or the top of or the bottom of a shin pad. Well, all the time. It's so easy.
Kippy, they spend 48 minutes scouring an iPad after every goal, so they'd have perfectly be able to see if it hit a skate or not. It's brutal. It just kills the flow of the game. The game ended at 10:45.
They're discussing it.
Video reviews are problem.
Now, last night, I think in our telecast, Sam Cosentino mentioned that he wants like 5 people per game working every night on each game.
Video.
Yeah. And I'm like,
do it.
And I said to my television screen through Sammy, what world do you think that they're going to go and hire 25 to 30 people to watch every game? That will never happen in a gazillion years. They have the technology now to enhance video and with cameras and posts and rinks, and like no one's fronting that money. They will not go there. This is it. Sammy, good idea, buddy, but they will never ever pay for that.
In Elliott's 32 Thoughts, I think I read that in Toronto Situation Room, the decisions are made by basically 4 people. Like, it's only one of 4 people, by and large, making the calls. Is it Coley Campbell, Rod Pasta?
So you want the...
Kay Whitmore.
So they want more cooks in the kitchen? They want more people in there making a decision?
Yeah.
I think the less people making decisions, the better to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true for consistency's sake.
And I don't know how you speed it up. You don't know until you know, right?
I think you put them in.
Do you like being rushed to make a decision? Do you like people hanging over you?
No, but I do like the idea that, like, if you can't tell after a couple views, then just go with the call on the ice. If it's that close and the ref said, to your point, said what he said, then let's just move on.
I even think it's, and I don't know, I do believe that this was an issue in the past. I don't know where it is today, but there's sometimes like you're at the mercy of the television, like Sportsnet, to
show the
find
review.
Another angle that they never saw in their war room.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they wait for it to come or it's unavailable.
This is my appeal to Sportsnet to be more biased. Like when the call is going against the Leafs, find no reviews, no replays, show nothing. And then when the call is for the Leafs, make sure you can find all the angles we need.
Leafs net.
31 teams that believe that's already happening every game.
Yeah, like there's a lot of stats to look at that say the Leafs do not get the benefit of the doubt.
In a few minutes, we're going to welcome in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who played his 1,000th game.
Yeah.
So.
A Toronto Maple Leaf on the Toronto Maple Leaf.
On our show.
Can you believe it?
Are we okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We want a few players, but we don't want a lot of them. Right?
How often would you want one? One a week?
That's once every 2 months.
Well, we're on pace.
Clipping along.
Listen, if I have to tell them every once in a while they suck the night before, I don't want them coming on the air the next day.
Well, lucky that you have Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I don't think he sucked last night.
No, he's been good all year.
Yeah. Actually, why don't we listen to the coach, Craig Berube, clip 7 on OEL.
Very happy for Oliver. 1,000 games in the league is it's a special thing. It really is. You know, it's a lot of hockey, a lot of preparation year in, year out, throughout the whole year. You know, it's not just the hockey season, and it's a desire to keep playing and, you know, playing at a high level. And I thought had an excellent game tonight, which I'm very happy for him.
It's great.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a tough game the other night against the Ottawa Senators. But when OEL was driving someone's face into the ice
there. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I like that.
You know, it is funny, like, looking at his career stats.
Right? That was the highlight of the game. For Leaf fans.
He was also -3 in that game.
15 years, 1,000 games played, 145 goals, almost 500 points. Just shy of 500 points. But the one that does stand out that I never really picked up on, 650 PIMs. It's quite a few PIMs.
Yep.
For a guy that you don't think of as being overly... Yeah.
Any majors?
Aggressive. I don't know. Just a lot of hooking. I don't know.
A lot of hooking. hey, look, do your stats. I'm curious how many majors.
Before we get to OEL, quick thoughts on... Oh, I want to hear Carberry and Quick thoughts on the goaltending.
Which one do you want to do?
Let's do Carberry for sure, because okay. The Capitals stunk out loud in the second half of that game. So let's listen to Spencer Carberry.
Second half of the game, I thought, not good at all. Embarrassing for that matter, the way that game played out, just embarrassing, flat out. I mean, that's unrecognizable from our team, playing a team on a back-to-back, third period, the way that looked with a two-goal lead. Embarrassing on home ice.
Oh my God. Three embarrassings?
Embarrassing.
Listen, we had him on the other day. I think he's done a terrific job. I like him. I do like him. He's won me over. But not necessary.
Oh, yeah. They blew it.
I know they blew it. But overall, they've been pretty good. It's okay if you want to say that in the dressing room. After watching them start this year, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have gone down there. And I think, this is just my opinion, but I think it may have had to do with against the Leafs, knowing that maybe his comments would be seen up on all the networks here in Canada, and little extra oomph out of him because he was so pissed off that he lost to the Leafs in the way they did.
Yeah.
That he gave it the extra.
You don't think he'd have done that in a Columbus game?
I'm pretty sure he would have passed on that off of a Columbus game.
On the triple embarrassing?
But listen, overall, really good start out of this hockey club.
They've been great. I do want to throw in there, watching Rasmus Sandin and his $4.6 million salary for the Caps last night, didn't have a moment where I was like, God, it'd be nice if he were still a Leaf.
He did have an assist on one of their
goals. Yeah, I mean, he does some stuff.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, the play he makes on the McMahon goal where he drifts towards Tavares and just, it's a 2-on-2.
Yeah.
You have one guy, and he's just like, ooh, look, the puck. I was like, I remember that.
I also got a kick out of last night watching a lot of people upset in the Twitter world or whatever you want to call it that Joseph Woll didn't get an assist.
I think I did that. I spurred that on.
Is this you?
Uh-oh.
Somewhere along the way, we stopped giving assists to goalies for saves. And that is really, really sad.
Oh, I didn't say that. That's dramatic. You double reelied me. I single reelied.
Oh, okay. Really sad.
Yeah.
Like, did you cry sad?
No, that's sad. These goalies are awesome. What an unbelievable... Alex Ovechkin in the slot. You can't tell me he didn't assist the goal.
What is an assist? Why would you care?
Have you ever talked to a goalie in your life?
Is he going
to... Did you play with any goalies?
Do you go to arbitration and go, I had that assist taken away, but, you know, my numbers are pretty good.
In the American Hockey League, when I was a video coach, I had goalies come to me constantly and be like,
why?
Hey, I made the save before that went up to the D.
You don't get paid for anything having to do with assists.
Everyone wants the credit.
Goals.
Why do they shoot it in the net then? Why are goalies happy when they score? What's the point? Goals don't matter.
Who's the all-time leader in points for a goalie? It's got to be Brodeur. Got to be Brodeur, right?
Were you going to petition it? Or are you like, help him out then?
I did. I did my tweet. Now we're talking about it. I've done my part. Fight him, goalies, not me.
He was quietly very good too.
Yeah. Yeah, that save in OT was nice. There was really none of the goals that were stinkers, I don't think.
Brodeur is not the all-time leader in points.
Who is it?
Tom Barrasso.
How? What did you just Google that real quick?
StatMuse. I hope they're right. 48 points for Barrasso, 47 for Brodeur.
Do me a favor. Yeah. Look up most assists in a season. I'm thinking Grant Fuhr had a big year. Mike Palmateer had one where he had like eight or nine assists one year.
Grant Fuhr is tied for second all time with Martin Brodeur. So you're probably right.
Quick search reveals that Timothy Liljegren has a few more points than Barrasso. I was wondering if it was next.
I'll try to find that for after the break.
All right.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll calm down here.
A lot of yelling at each other in that segment. Won. I agree with Bordy, though. He deserves an assist. You'll stare down the number one goal scorer, according to you guys, of all time, even though he doesn't have the most goals. He scares him down, kicks it out, and leads the puck down the other way, they score the goal. It's definitely assist.
Nice play by Marner, too.
And I was really sad about it.
I was really sad.
Pretty sad.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll welcome in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Is that the longest name in the league?
We'll look into that for you.
We will. After the break, more Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Leaf defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who played his 1,000th game last night.
So it sounds like after the game and listening to Nylander's interview that OEL is going to take the team out to dinner. So you're talking about 20-some bodies. Oh, we got him on the phone. Why don't you introduce?
Oliver Ekman-Larsson, everybody, coming off his big night. And bigger night, what's bigger, 1,000 games or a comeback win, Oliver?
I think the comeback win.
Or the bill last night, what was bigger of the three?
No, you know what? It was a special night, obviously, playing 1,000 games in the league and getting a win. So it was a good night, but move on.
Oliver, when you started your career, obviously, it looked like you got a few playoff games early in Arizona with the then Phoenix Coyotes, if I'm not mistaken. And then there was this huge, huge drought of many years and not being in the postseason. And lo and behold, last season, you end up winning the Stanley Cup with the Florida Panthers, and here you are on a contending team. But does it sum up your 1,000th game in terms of really not taking too much for granted when you're early and good as you were at the start of your career?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's hard to kind of, you don't really think about the 1,000 games, and then last week you kind of start booking the flights for your family and your friends, and it hits you, but it's hard to kind of go back and kind of remember everything. So I think it might take some time to settle in and kind of appreciate it. It might not be the word, but I know I appreciate it, and I know that I'm not taking anything for granted, because you dream about playing one game in this league, and I've been fortunate enough to be in the league for a long time, and 1,000 games is something special, that's for sure.
Oliver, if the rookie version of you signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs today and was made your D partner, what would you think of that player? Like, how have you changed from that version of yourself?
I think I've always been the same guy. Hockey player, I hope I'm better now than I was when I first broke into the league. I would like to think so. And that comes with a lot of, you've been in the league for a long time. You pick up on a lot of stuff. So you try to get better every single year. You go through tough times, but I think the tough times have kind of helped me go through it and kind of get better and came out better on the other side, I feel like. So I've always been a guy that picks up on a lot of stuff, kind of have a easy to pick up on reads or small details, and I think that have helped me a lot, and I feel like the work you put in the off season, and I feel like I picked it up a lot the last 5-6 years. So I think that's why I'm 1,000 games and the body is feeling good. So, but yeah, it's hard to know. I remember coming into Phoenix and Shane Doan is telling me my second or third day, hey, enjoy it because it's going to go fast. Mm-hmm. So I know what he meant now. That's for sure. So, I think he is trying to get better every single day, but obviously I thought I was a pretty good player coming into the league, but I feel like hockey has taught me a lot of things, and I met so many unbelievable people along the way, so I'm very grateful for that.
And in Phoenix, sixth pick overall in 2009, we knew you as a highly skilled player, defenseman, but it's only really for me anyways in the latter part of the last few years I've watched you play with this edge, and not a lot of good things happened the other night against the Ottawa Senators, but you driving that that guy's face into the ice was a highlight for me. Did you always have that in you? Like you're almost like could play on a fourth line with me, like in the 90s.
No, I feel like I've always had that in my game. We always joke around about it. My dad spent a lot of time in the penalty box, so I think I got that from him. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but I think it's good to have it in your toolbox. I think that's kind of how you get into games. I feel like I can do a little bit of everything, defend, hit, and that's one thing that I like about the game. I like hitting. I like that physical play, so I'm not backing away from that when I get a chance. So it's fun. It's a fun way to kind of get going and a fun way to help out your team too.
Oliver, how is Toronto different from some of the other stops you've had around the NHL? I know you once had a fashion line. I feel like I hope there's better style here than in Florida where it's all board shorts.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it's warmer clothes here for sure. But yeah, it's great. Toronto has been unbelievable. The guys on the team, the organization have been welcoming me and my family. So that's something that kind of made that transition a lot easier. So I'm very thankful for the great people that we have here. So I'm very excited about the future and what's ahead of us. So I couldn't be more pumped.
Sandwiched between your Stanley Cup was a couple of years in Vancouver. Now you're in Toronto. Did Vancouver kind of prep you a little bit with you know, the way people in Canada treat the players, watch the players, talk behind their players' backs?
You know what? Like I think it's great that the fans are passionate about the team and their players. I love that, and that's why I love playing hockey so much. But I think, bottom line, I think I put the most pressure on myself, to be honest with you. And I just love that people care about you in different ways. So that kind of gives you that extra edge to kind of do something good and be better, you know. So I think I have nothing bad to say about Vancouver. Our time there was great. Fortunate it didn't work out the way we wanted it, but I feel like everything happens for a reason, and it took me to Florida. It took me here, so I'm very pumped to be here with an unbelievable, talented group of guys that we tried to do something special, and I really believe in this group that we have here.
So last night, you guys spent the night in Washington, and everybody showed up at your dinner?
Well, we haven't had a dinner yet, so...
That one's coming up.
I put a dinner up on the board, so we'll see what the guys want to go for dinner. Owe them a nice dinner, that's for sure. They have been great to me and my family, so they deserve probably more than a dinner.
So it doesn't scare you when Willie goes, I'm going to order really expensive wine?
No, somebody told me about that, so Willie, I told that to somebody else. Willie might have to chip in a little bit.
Yes, we know how much Willie makes.
Yeah, he'll be okay. Sure. Yeah, he can
might,
help.
I might have to cap him.
Yes,
that's a good idea.
That's right. Okay, Oliver, really appreciate your time. Best of luck this weekend against the Edmonton Oilers and the rest of the season, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep, thank you. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, everybody.
Yeah, he's just been a treat to watch in terms of, like, last night.
Really,
I really thought, like,
year.
In that at that 10-minute mark that we heard Craig Berube talk about it, like, when Oliver had a chance to push pace of play,
yeah, he was up ice.
He was up,
yep. Including the one where he took a pretty solid whack at the other team's goalie.
You guys are just the biggest goalie defenders. That was the biggest flop in league history.
If anyone swings at your goalie who's holding the puck.
The puck is sitting there. He hits him.
That's nice that your subjective opinion is it didn't hit him hard enough, but don't swing at my goalie.
He hits him lightly in the blocker, and he goes down like he took a...
I'm with Sammy.
That was absurd.
I didn't hit him hard, but you don't take a whack at a goalie without expecting someone to be upset.
No one did anything. Like, they looked at him sideways. Tom Wilson was out there. I thought the old Tom Wilson would have jumped him. There was nothing. They just did nothing. I don't know. That Logan Thompson, a lot's happening in there with him.
He actually had a tough night, even though he only gave up 4 recorded goals. He looked
fine.
Behind him a lot.
Up 3-1, I thought he was good.
But he's looking behind him quite a bit. No?
Yeah, I know, but it's still 3-1. You're still in charge, and he did make some good saves.
Think he's a third goalie for Canada or what?
I wouldn't want to watch that in that for Canada, but I guess you have to watch
number
Bennington.
Number one goalie for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
That's what we ask.
He is.
Who's your other guy?
Well, I'm just saying, though, is he legit?
Oh, I don't know.
Right?
Who knows?
I've never been a Capitals guy. I know they made some nice offseason moves or whatever, but that team is still.
They did look
as slow to get eliminated in the first round.
We thought they were going to be last night.
Yeah, they have that
they didn't
in
move.
Them. I understand Matt Roy is a nice defender. Chychrun, I think, is a nice player for them. He looked a little lacking confidence on a touch or two last night, but. Anyway.
So now, this weekend, big one. We'll tee it up more tomorrow, but Oilers coming to town.
Well, just think about the energy that a loss would have done last night going into that game. It's just, as you mentioned, it's a big energy swing. It's a big, we're looking at the game a little differently, and I expect Austin Matthews to play in that game.
Do you?
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully he didn't wake up as... stiff as he probably was a week and a half ago, and he's good to go.
When you said energy on Saturday night, I thought you would have meant that the Leafs playing as well as the biggest superstar on earth playing a concert at Rogers Center at the same time. I thought that was the energy you were talking about.
Sam got kicked off the highway for Taylor Swift today.
I did.
Pushed off by the motorcade.
Was she crossing the street?
No, I think it was her. I don't know what other reasons possibly could have been would have happened, but I got pulled up on... by like 15 or 16 cops on motorbikes. I'm like, oh my God, was I texting? Am I about to go to the clink? What's going on here?
15 cops pulled
anyways,
you over for texting?
They kind of, they eased everybody off the highway. So there was like, they pulled up and the guy like almost skidded and they pulled everyone off at Spadina. And then like, the Gardner was pretty much empty and I looked back and I saw like a bus in the distance. So around 2 o'clock, it would make sense for old Tay-Tay to be showing up, right?
Sure.
Seems like it could have been her. Or maybe it was just her, you know, her dog walker or something that they were giving a police escort to. Holy, we are shutting the city down. It's incredible.
Bring in the dollars, I guess. Bring in the dollars.
Most important person on the planet right now.
I just for fun, I went and looked on old Stubby Hubby to have a look at what it costs for a ticket. Like
two.
You can stand behind a wall for $3,000 if you want.
I ran into a friend this morning.
$2,000 to $3,000 to stand behind a wall.
Yeah. Yesterday, a neighborhood friend of ours said they looked and it was $2,300 for a standing room only, partially obstructed.
Sick.
Sick. I heard like hotel rooms are like $3,000.
How fast would you sell that ticket?
I mean, immediately. I don't know if I was handed a free ticket if I would go. And that's not like,
well,
being like,
did you didn't
have
a 41
year old man.
Spoken like a guy who didn't enter the Rogers contest. I haven't won anything, but
it's like,
oh, if you sell that ticket from Rogers, you won't be working here anymore.
I would take my sister 100%. I'd go.
Yeah.
If I got a free ticket and I couldn't sell it, I would obviously go. She's the biggest star on earth. I don't even really like her
to
songs.
Me it's like,
but
that's a lot of crowd. I don't know.
Oh, you're such a baby.
If I had to name five songs, I'd get Shake It Off.
Because, baby, you're bad.
All right, join us, you Swifties, for the next hour on our national program. Sammy's going to find you two tickets from Rogers here for you. You just need to call him. All right, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, general manager of the New Jersey Devils, Tom Fitzgerald.